Good morning. Wonderful to be with you. My name's Matt. If we haven't met, thank you, David. We're going to carry on thinking. It's very kind of David to say that I was going to open up the scriptures. I am, but I think we've been doing that all morning. It's been brilliant. David, thank you for doing that. We're going to stay in Luke's gospel, and we're going to think about this idea that a true hope for life is found in Jesus's life. On Good Friday, we saw that in death, there was hope, that Jesus had hope. And now there is hope in life. But why? Why? Well, we're going to see that Easter hope is the secret to true certainty. And we're going to see that it's the secret to true joy. So we've seen earlier, haven't we, this kind of revealing thing. That the disciples, they're all puzzled. Something was going on. Something was revealed to them. And often we're interested in seeing what's the secret? What's the secret to life? What's the secret to be certain or whatever it is? And the reason I've called it a secret is because Jesus has to reveal the truth. But it's a truth that's always been there. If you've got your Bible still open, have a look down at Luke 24 again and at verse 25. Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." So the reason it was hidden, Jesus is saying, it's not because they had a problem of not understanding, that they weren't, because they weren't clever enough. It was actually because of their unbelief. Look again, verse 25. How slow to believe. And we're all like that, aren't we? We're just slow to believe. We might like to think we don't have enough information. If God just gave me some more information, then yes, I would believe. But that's not what the Bible says. It's just our unbelief. And so Jesus has to open their eyes and reveal the truth to them. Look down at verse 31. Okay, when he was at the table, he took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened. So they had this revelation of what the Bible had been saying all along. Verse 45, have a look at that. Jesus appears to them again, and he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. So Jesus has to open their minds so that they can see. Now, but in God's plan, that was always going to happen. It was always going to be that the Messiah would have to die and after 3 days, to rise again. That was always going to be the plan. But Jesus has to open the disciples' minds to their belief so that they could see. And that is how they get this certainty. Because Jesus is saying, look, you can be certain because God doesn't do plan Bs. Things haven't been going along well and then, oh no, Jesus is dead. And then and God the Father is there thinking, what will I do now? Well, I'll raise him from the dead and start again. That's not the way it goes. It's always been the plan. That's why we can be certain. But it's always been there. That's why God has put it in the scriptures to show us that certainty. Now, I wonder if you have seen any hidden things before. Let's have a look. I click on here. We've got to. Can I click to the next slide? Okay, right. So here's the logo. So I used to work in advertising and there's a lot of logos around, obviously, in advertising. Now, who's seen this logo before? Yeah, lots of people have seen it before. Who knows what the design is hidden in that logo? FedEx, I can see one clever hand over there. Any other? Can anyone see? What can you see in there? Hello? An arrow. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you, James. Yeah, an arrow. Can everyone see the arrow? Can anyone see the arrow or not? Who had not seen the arrow before? But it's been there all along. Right? It's been there all along. I've not just put it there. It's been there all along. Right, shall we do the next one? Let's go on to the next one. Right, who can see anything hidden in this logo? Liz Jackson has got her hand up for everyone. She's far too clever. Who wants to have a go? Okay, down here, you can see something hidden in the logo. What can you see?
A bear.
A bear. A bear. Who agrees with that? A bear. It's a bit harder, this one. Who can see? Can someone describe where the bear is? So, where? So, that's gone.
Yeah, on the mountain.
On the mountain, yeah. Can you see that bear just climbing up the mountain? Who had not seen that bear before? But it's always been there. Every time you've seen it, it's always been there. Last one's a super easy one. The next one. Go to the next one. Okay, what's supposed to be clever about this logo? Anything seen? Think it's Liz Jackson again, and we're... What can you see about this logo?
Smiley face.
There is the smiley face. That's what. There is a couple of things. Yeah, there's the smile. Am's the smile. What else? John Bishop's got it, I think. We think.
Amazon will give you everything from A to Z.
Liz, is that right? That's correct, yeah. That's right. Amazon get you anything from A to Z. That's why it goes from A to Z. Who had not seen that before? But it's always been there, right? And that's just what it's like for these disciples. Jesus opens their mind. They're puzzled. Jesus, he's died. And then people are saying he's risen. And Jesus says, you can be certain that God's plan will achieve its purpose because it was always there. You look through the Bible, it's always been there. And can you imagine that moment when you've looked and seen the logo and gone, oh, that's the disciples' moment. That's the moment they have going, well, of course we can be certain. God's not added it on at the end. He's not rewriting it because it's gone wrong. We can be certain all the way through the Bible. And that is where there is true certainty. We can be certain that God's plan of rescue and forgiveness has been fulfilled. Verse 44, the Messiah had to die and rise again and forgiveness be proclaimed to all nations. So that we know that on that first Sunday that Jesus is risen, that God's plan has been successful. Now, I need some other volunteers. Are they going to be the same volunteers or other one there? Keen down the front here. Yeah. You want to come up? Is that a hand?
No.
Do you want to? Not sure? You don't have to. Samuel, you're keen. Yeah, go on, Jamie. Yeah. And I think we'll have one more. One more. Come on, James. Okay. Right. Now, I want you to imagine that through that door in there is actually a big cave with a dragon in it. We go on to the next. We've got a nice dragon. There we go. Look. There's a huge dragon that is in there, which is terrorizing everybody. And we need someone brave to go in to defeat the dragon. Right. Okay. Right. Right. I'm going to turn this on. Right, okay, here we go. Right, the dragon. We've got James on the. We've got two of them now. This is going to go well, isn't it? I don't know. Do you think, Samuel, that they've defeated the dragon? I'm not sure either. Right. Okay, look. Okay, go on, Sam. Here we go. Whoa, come here. Wow. Amazing. How were we convinced that the dragon was defeated? Because he came back. How are we convinced that death has been defeated? Because he came back out of that tomb. He's not left in there. So we can be certain. All right, boys, Jamie and James, you can come back out now. Well done. Thank you. Right, can we sit down? We can be sure. That is true certainty that God's plans of forgiveness in the gospel have been completed. It just as the building fulfills the architect's plans, so Jesus rising from the dead fulfills all of the Old Testament's plans. And it's important that we understand that's real. We're not talking about a metaphorical rising from the dead, that Jesus is sort of risen in our hearts in some way, because dead men don't forgive. And we're not saying, well, we've got memories of Jesus somehow. Because memories don't speak to God on our behalf. But Jesus does. And metaphorical life doesn't appease the judgment of God. So we can be sure from that resurrection that God's plan has succeeded. And we need that true certainty, don't we? In a world like our own, it's full of uncertainty. We look at the news, we look at people talking about what the stock markets are doing, and they don't like uncertainty. We have uncertainty in the future of our own life. We might have health uncertainties. We might have job uncertainties, but we have one true certainty, that God has rescued those who trust in Jesus and that there is forgiveness, because that resurrection means he has fulfilled. We're going to stand and we're going to sing, and then we're going to come back and think a tiny bit more about that. But we're going to stand and we're going to sing a song which the children taught us some actions to, didn't they, the other week? And this is all about God's promises. So if you remember those actions, then join in. Let's stand. Thank you. Easter hope brings true certainty. It's the secret of true certainty. But it's also the secret of true joy. Grab your Bibles again. Good morning. Wonderful to be with you. My name's Matt. If we haven't met, thank you, David. We're going to carry on thinking.
They asked each other.
It's very kind of David to say that I was going to open up the scriptures.
I am.
Burning within
us.
Been doing that all morning.
Well, he's talked with us on the road.
David, thank you
for
doing that. We're going
to
stay in Luke's gospel. And we're going to think about this idea that a true hope for life is found in Jesus' life. On Good Friday, we saw that in death, there was hope, that Jesus has hope. And now there is hope in life.
And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement,
why? Well, we're going to see that Easter hope is the secret to true certainty.
With joy,
and we're going to see that it's the secret to true joy. So we've seen earlier, haven't we, this kind of revealing thing, that the disciples, they're all puzzled. Something was going on. Something was revealed to them. And often we're interested in seeing what's the secret. What's the secret to life? What's the secret to be certain or whatever it is?
Praising God.
And the reason I've called it a secret is because Jesus has to reveal the truth.
And they understood.
But it's a truth that's always been
through history. And
if you've got your Bible still open, have a look down at Luke 24 again.
With great joy. That's where Jesus said, 25. It is written. And that the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead.
Jesus said to them, how foolish you are and how slow to believe
all
that the prophets have spoken.
And he opened their eyes, didn't he? It says, to the law and the prophets.
Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things?
So here they are.
And then enter his glory.
They opened their minds.
And beginning with Moses and all the prophets,
he
explained
to
them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. So the reason it was hidden,
provided
Jesus is saying,
a lamb
it's not because, and then in Hebrews they had a problem of not understanding, that they weren't, because they weren't clever enough.
It's always been God's plan.
It was actually
remember
because of their unbelief.
Remember
again, verse
Daniel,
25.
In the lion's den, who had done no wrong. They couldn't find anything to convict him against. And the king didn't want to kill him, but he'd made a silly vow and he had to put Daniel to death in the lion's den, and they rolled a stone over the entrance, didn't they? And then early the next morning, the king comes down and rolls back the stone and says, Daniel, has your God saved you? And of course he has. Maybe we might remember Jonah, who was as good as dead, wasn't he? 3 days in the belly of the fish. And then what happened after 3 days? He came back out and the gospel was preached to all nations into Nineveh. Or perhaps Psalm 16, you might remember where God says, I will not let my Holy One be subject to decay. All the way through, and the disciples are mind blown that all through the Bible it was pointing to this. And they're full of joy in realizing something that was there all along. Just that joy of going, maybe you've had that moment in the Bible and you've gone, oh, yeah, God's always been doing this. That's filled me with such joy that something been there all along. I was thinking, how could we capture this joy? Well, the front row might be able to capture a bit of joy. If you check underneath your seats, have a little look. Anything underneath your seats? Wow, sweets underneath your seats. That's a joyful thing. How do you feel about the big grin on here, Jackson? Big smile. He's playing it cool now. You had a big smile. That's good. They've been there all along. They've been there all the time you've been sat there. But that moment of discovering that, bringing that real joy, and that's what the disciples have. All along, God's been doing this, and our salvation is complete. It's not just joy in seeing Jesus alive again. It's joy in the fact that Jesus has done it. And it happens as Jesus opens their mind to all the scriptures. Did you get that? Moses, the law, and the prophets, and the Psalms. We want more joy in Jesus, don't we? Do we want more joy? Our world needs a bit more joy, I think. I need more joy. More joy in Jesus. How? Well, Jesus has given them that joy by showing them the Bible. So presumably, if I get more Bible, and if I get more Old Testament even, I get more Jesus, and I get more joy. That's a great implication, isn't it? If I shut my Bible, I shut the door to more Jesus. And I shut the door to more joy. So we can have that joy in Jesus, just like the disciples did. And lastly, there is that true joy in forgiveness, isn't there? That it has been done. Some of us, sometimes we think, have you ever uttered this phrase, I just can't forgive myself? Or you've maybe thought that. Well, that's God's job. And God can forgive. And this resurrection morning is saying it is done. If we're trying to forgive ourselves, we're looking in the wrong place, because we can have that joy of forgiveness if we're feeling condemned still because of what we've done or what we've thought. Then we're not listening close enough. The resurrection has proven that forgiveness is there. I'm going to finish by this little story, short story or parable, I suppose, that Ernest Hemingway once wrote, great writer. And he wrote a story about a father who desperately wants to reconcile with his beloved son, Paco. And he's so desperate to show that forgiveness to his son that his son doesn't know that he's forgiven, that he places an advertisement in the local newspaper, El Liberal. And he writes these words in the short advert. Paco, meet me at the Hotel Montana at noon on Tuesday. All is forgiven. Love, Papa. The next day at noon, 800 Pacos were waiting outside the Hotel Montana. How many of us just eager for that joy, the forgiveness of the Father? So whatever else is going on in our lives, the forgiveness that we need and long for from our Father in heaven because of that resurrection morning is a reality that we can know now and experience that joy. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that the resurrection gives us the secret to true certainty that your plans are fulfilled, that your rescue has happened. Thank you that it gives us the secret to true joy, knowing that forgiveness is real because the resurrection of Jesus is real. We pray that we would share this morning in the days to come the joy of the disciples who had their eyes opened to the truth. We thank you that you have acted in history for real to secure this rescue, this joy, this certainty for us. And we give you great praise in the name of the risen Lord.